fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. Welcome to Contractor Fight Podcasto. Is that how you say it in Spanish? Podcasto.
Podcasto. You know, that's probably the first time I've ever heard you say it that way. So that's, yeah, just go with that.
Podcastadores. I don't know, something like that. Anyway, this is why I don't speak Spanish. I thought, Derek, about getting that Babbel app and learning Spanish. Sunday. Bueno. Remember those commercials? Anyway. Okay. So it's Tom and Derek today. Steve is in, where is he at? Italy? Is that where he is?
I was going to say Spain, but you know, Spain.
He's Italy, I think. He's in Italy. I don't know. Yeah. Guy travels all the time. He's just out dropping 10 grand a day on his vacation, having a good time and seeing the world. And, you know, he's probably on one of those European nude beaches right now, you know. Or at the very least, he's got a banana hammock on, you know, because that's what they do over there, I think, right?
Yeah, sure.
Nothing like a banana hammock and a hairy body. So,
I'm never going to get that image out of my head.
So, true story, I was at a public pool many years ago, and there were like two European guys there at the public pool. And they were everything I just said, my man. It was highly entertaining for those of us that were not wearing banana hammocks. So,
that's funny. That's just normal for them. They're culture. And then we wear like board shorts to cover our knees.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
I've been thinking about this a bunch, and I think it has to do with I'm getting older. I've failed so many years and 26 years in business. You know, just a couple months ago, it was officially 26 years. And just the knowing breeds confidence. And I think about how just probably two hours ago, I sold planting four trees, and granted, they're decent sized trees, $8,300. And it all had to do with I knew the scope of work. I know my process. I know my product. I know how to make this thing happen. And the client literally said, I would definitely not pay anyone this amount of money, but just the confidence and the knowledge that you have, I feel completely comfortable with you doing this because I know I'm going to get what I'm paying for. And it just keeps tying in because I'm not bullshitting, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm not messing around with this stuff. So so knowing breeds confidence. When you really, really know, even like Shen Fu, I know how to talk and conversate with people now. So I can literally walk up with complete confidence, which is, you know, it's appealing. I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, confidence, people want to be around confident people. So how do you get the confidence? It's from knowing, it's from our groups, it's from our knowledge, it's from all the people that we're around, the people that we hang out with. When you really, really know those things, you can present yourself. So, Tom, I'm going to ask you, what is something that you know really, really well now and exude the confidence that if you go back so many years, you didn't? Anything. Doesn't matter.
It's doing this shit. It's recording podcasts and videos. Like, you know, I'll just throw that out there, right? Because I've done thousands of them. You know, hundreds and hundreds. And I think the whole knowing piece is when you say knowing, I initially go, okay, there's knowledge there, but knowledge alone, right, doesn't do it. You have to put in the preparation. And so the reason you were confident in your pricing for whatever those things cost is you've prepared so much, which started with the knowledge and then implementing the knowledge and the things you're learning. And then it breeds that confidence to where you're unstoppable. So for me, it would be video stuff and all that. Like I look back at my first videos, I listen back to our first podcasts here. And it's literally like,
I look at them every now and again.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Tom and welcome to the podcast. Like I am so embarrassed and I leave it up because I want to give people hope. Like seriously, like if you just keep showing up, you get better. Right. And you keep practicing, and you keep putting in the reps. And so, yeah. Okay. So sales is your thing. Confidence. Right? Like you're just, sure. I mean, knowing breeds confidence.
When I first started doing this, it was sloppy, same thing. But now it's just not even, I can walk in any room, I don't care who it is, but room full of alphas, doesn't matter. And I'm completely comfortable. And I don't have to know the subject. I just have to know how to carry myself as an individual and how to communicate with other humans.
Yeah.
And if they want to bring up the subject that I'm just don't understand, I can confidently go, you know, I don't really understand that. Please tell me a little bit more about that. I'm curious. I mean, fuck, how powerful is that? I can just go nope, I'm going to put it right back on them and they're going to think I'm awesome.
Yeah. I had a conversation. I forget the exact thing the person brought up, but he brought something up. I think it was in one of our sales training workshops I did. And if I think back to it now, and he said something, and I truly had zero idea what he was talking about. I didn't know where to go with it. I was like, so my confidence of my knowledge of the thing was in the tank. It was in the gutter.
Sure.
But my confidence of how to handle the situation was off the charts because I said, huh, what would that look like? I literally just went something like, hey, so what would that look like? And then he opened up and I got up to speed. I'm like, okay, there we are. So what are some things that you think derails people's confidence in the sales game? Where are people not confident? Let's start with that. Where are people not confident?
So it's word tracks. Just the first thing that popped in my mind is word tracks, not knowing what to say, because I go back to it's, and this was Jack Harvey, same thing. I remember Jack saying it to Steve, and then I said it to Steve at one point. It's like, Steve, just tell me the things to say. I just need to know the things and I'll say them. Well, here's the thing though. Once you get them, you still have to put a lot of time in those word tracks. So that you come off correctly, your tonality comes off correctly, your body language comes off correctly, and you can use those. Because when you first read them, you can read them verbatim. You know, it's that's one of the things I do on my call is I literally have words worth repeating, and it's about 50 different word tracks. And I've studied those over and over and over and over, and that's the knowing breeds confidence. So I think where people lack the confidence is they just don't know what to say, and then they don't know how to say it. And then it just takes time and repetition. That's why we do role plays. That's why role plays are so important to see the same thing. Drills in football. I mean, what's a drill in football? That's a very common thing that you do no matter what's a basic thing.
It could just be a simple, you know, if you're an offensive lineman, there's a directional step drill, you know, based on your offensive scheme. And your first step is play side at a 45 degree angle. And you want to get your inside hand to the outside armpit of the defender. Like that's a drill that is run all the time, you know, depending on like a outside zone scheme. Everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? See,
see, man, I'd have to do that drill so many times. And whoever's on the other side that knew better would just be drilling me. I would be going to the ground every time.
Yeah. Or it could be a quarterback and throwing routes to a receiver against a certain defense. You know, the drill is you got to put your eyes on the snap of the ball. You got to put your eyes on the corner. You know, if he sinks and sits, you know, you're going over his head. If he opens his hips and starts to run, you know, the receiver is going to hitch it up. And so either whatever the defender chooses is wrong. And you only get to that Tom Brady level with thousands and thousands of reps of that. So, and then what happens, and I know you know this, is you've said this before, the more you practice anything, but in this case, the sales game, role plays, whatever it might be, it literally slows down to where like you're in the Matrix and the bullets are coming at you and you're just kind of leaning back and you're just dodging the bullets. Like it's
coolest thing ever.
Yeah. It's truly, I've been here before. Oh, this is a slam dunk. This is easy.
Yeah.
You know, let's go even more basic because there's some people right now that are like, dude, I wish I would have screenshotted the post. Is it screenshot or screenshotted? Screenshot the post. I think it is. I don't know. I rode the short bus.
Got it. Okay.
I rode the short bus and you're from Tennessee. So everybody's fucked right now. So anyway, but this guy was like, I just can't keep up with all these leads that are coming in and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's saying that, right? Like if you're answering your phone and you're getting leads coming in, it's hard for so many contractors to get back to people because it's overwhelming. The economy's booming. Sure. And so a basic thing that you need confidence in is how do you have that first conversation with somebody going, I'm not going to run right out there and give you a free estimate on site, like something that basic in the sales process.
Yeah.
It's if it's not practiced, you're not going to have that confidence to where people are, because what you do well and other people do really well is the way you present it and say it has such confidence that it literally the prospect feels like, oh, this must be what we do here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they play along without, I mean, I always crack up with the people who are like, I'm getting all these objections when I say I'm not coming out there for free. And I'm like, it's because you haven't practiced.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, your voice shakes. You don't know the words to say. So speak to that. Like, just speak to that one, that super basic person right now who has no other, you know, sales training, nothing, and they just don't know how to keep up with all the phone calls that are coming. What's one thing they can practice right now? What's a word track?
It just starts with when you answer your phone, literally just simple pleasantries and saying nothing more than tell me what you would like me to know and push mute. So you can't say another word. And what's going to happen? They're going to tell you everything. And then you just write it down. And then there's your word tracks. They're going to tell you I need this on the left side. I need this in the front of my house. I need this blah, blah, blah. I need this in the backyard. And then you unmute and say something like, you need that in the backyard, and hit mute again. And they're just going to go. This happens all the time when I do my live calls, where I call a customer in Tennessee. Just for you guys that don't know, in Tennessee, only one person has to agree that it's being recorded. Other states, you can't do that. But here, as long as I'm okay with it, it's legal. So I'll do that. And That's how I start my call. And you can ask anybody that's been on there. It's literally, I say, hello, thank you for getting on this call with me. I have the pictures in front of me. Just tell me what you'd like me to know, and I shut up. And sometimes they'll go for 10 minutes. And then all I got to do is just ask questions on what they gave me. That it sounds high level, but it's not. It's just basic. Just read the sheet of paper. You don't even have to have all these crazy word tracks. Yeah. And then hopefully you know your business enough, your numbers enough, and when they're giving it to you, you could give them a bracketed price. And just because it doesn't have to be that fancy. And now when I do it, it's kind of interesting. I'm literally, right. I feel crazy because I'm just sitting there and the person just talks. And I'm not even having to do anything fancy anymore. And then I'll throw a number out there. Once I throw the number out there, well, then we may be getting off the phone really quickly, or we may keep going. So, but it comes from practice. And it makes me think of like 60 Minutes has done some of these shows, and I don't know really what to call them. It's basically, they'll put people in a room and then a buzzer will go off, and they have some people like posted in there, they're actors, and the buzzer goes off and the three actors will stand up. And then the other people kind of look, and then the buzzer goes off again and they stand up, and then you find yourself standing up. Next thing you know, the buzzer goes off and everybody in the room stands up. And then the three actors leave. But now those other people have been trained. They're still left in that waiting room. The buzzer goes off. They stand up. Other people come into the room. Same thing over and over. They're following the one that's confident.
Yeah.
So if you practice and train, and when you're on the phone, they just assume that's how it works. But if you don't, they're going to run all over you, and you're going to follow their lead because the homeowner has the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely ever have people even question on whether I'm coming out or not. And it's just taking years to do this, but you can do it in months too. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes an hour a day of training.
60 minutes a day, 3,600 seconds.
20 minute abs.
So that, based on what you're saying, I'm hearing the number one skill somebody's got to practice, honestly. Well, it's a combined skill, but it's kind of two, 1A and 1B. Number one, ask a fucking question instead of telling. And number two, hit mute, meaning shut your mouth, STFU, right? So the more you practice asking questions, you know, guys, this addresses objections. This handles any situation you're ever going to run. And listen, if you're on the phone, you're on the phone. If you're in person, it still works the same, right? Like, I know there's people that listen to this, they're like, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm still going to see people in person. Okay, fine. That's your choice. Go do that. You know, but when I'm standing there, like I had a sales call, God, it was a really long time ago, like years. And I want to say, without all the details, their motive for buying was, and I think I've shared the story, but not this angle of it before. They had an in-law that worked with or lived with them. It was a father-in-law. He had emphysema. He was on a ventilator or oxygen. And their big concern, like, that they wanted was somebody that was going to come in and not create a lot of dust and a bunch of problems. And so what do most of us do? So I'm just giving people a real life example. So I go, Derek, what's your biggest concern? Or however I get there. And you're like, well, my father-in-law lives with us and he's on oxygen. And, you know, last time we had a contractor out, you know, he had a hard time breathing and there was a lot of dust and they said they were going to keep it clean and they didn't. So, you know, as well as I do, you're sitting here just going, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
I got this one. Yeah. But what do most of us do? Most of us go, we pounce.
Yeah.
That's the habit. We're confident in pouncing, which is the wrong thing to be confident in. We're like, we clean up and we use a HEPAVAC and we use blah, 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 Festool and zip walls and all this other bullshit. When all I did is I said, I said something to the extent of, so he's got emphysema and he said the last contractor. I said, what happens when he can't breathe? And they're like, well, we had to take him to the ER, you know, and they have to, I forget what it was. It's like a long time ago. Right. And we had, it was all this other stuff. And basically everything they said, I was like, well, how long did that take? Jeez. And oh, and that cost any money? And, you know, you just keep, then the point here is through developing the habit of asking questions, you guys, you can actually make the pain of what they have to do by not choosing you outweigh the pain of your price or your schedule or whatever it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, absolutely. If you could get that, if you ask questions that lead them to where they're painting a picture, and even in some rare cases, you could be like, I mean, let's say you build decks and you need a certain sort of ramp because you have an elderly family member that, you know, you don't want them to fall and break their hip. And you go, oh, it's 18 grand to build a deck with this thing or whatever, or 50 grand or whatever your damn number is. And somebody's like, oh my God, that's so much money. You know, you go, well, you know, what's a hip cost? You know, or what if you got to take time off work? And if you got to, you know, you paint that picture, it's just questions.
It's, and which is one of the word tracks and words worth repeating. It's what would happen if you didn't do this?
Contractor Sales Pros is a place to ask questions and share strategies and best practices to help each other get better as sales professionals in the construction industry. If you want to level up your sales game and hang out with other cool people who are selling great stuff, great services, projects in this industry, head to Facebook and jump into the group that we have there called Contractor Sales Pros today.
I can't say it enough, Tom, and you know this. It's, you just have to make these things about the other person. It's, I'm actually in my garden center now, and I'm in the Airstream, and I can see customers walking up. It's kind of cool just to be able to do this podcast from here. And I just, I see these customers come in, and all they want to do is talk about their spaces. And they'll ask you questions, and all we got to do is share some information about the thing. And then you just ask them something else about their space, and they're so excited about it. And then if you know their name, and you say, well, Mary, that's amazing. Or Mary, so glad you came. Mary, I'll see you later. And I'm being totally genuine. And they absolutely love us at the Garden Center because they come here and I've trained my team here. Don't go crazy about the plants. Do not talk Latins. I don't care. We know Latins. We get it. Everybody thinks you're an asshole if you do, unless you're, there's a master gardener here and it's a competition. I can out Latin your ass. You know, it's like, but yep. Just make it about them. And it's shocking how much we sell just by making it about them. It's a simple thing.
I was just talking, because you've said that twice, make it about them. I literally yesterday told, last night, Lee and I went out on a date. We're having dinner, and I don't even know how we got on the topic, but I literally said, Derek's superpower is making people feel important. And that's exactly what this is. Meaning, you talk to that, what I mean by that, because I know you know what I mean with the sign, right? Sure. But that's you get there by asking questions.
You do, and you just make it about them and be genuinely curious. And trust me, sometimes I get more information than I want. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I really want to get out of here. Because it's like, I don't, but you just have to transition, and it's just be excited. And this goes back to, this is where it comes from, Tom. I was probably 16 or 17 years old. That's probably 15. So my neighbors up the street, they're Czechoslovakian, meaning the Lodls, L-O-D-L. I have to spell that because when I say it, sometimes people go, what did you say? The Lodls. And nicest family ever. And Mrs. Lodl, she's kind of my second mom. Right. And I remember going down in their basement, and for whatever reason, she had three boys, so they're kind of like my brothers. We're down there, and I had a rasp, and we were just going across some wood, head on a vise. I don't know what the fuck we were making. And she came down there, and she was like, oh, wow, Derek, that's amazing. Like, that is the coolest thing. Where did you learn that? And then I learned in a shop class, you know, and it's like, oh, I went to Neely's Bend as I was in shop class, my teacher, blah, blah, blah. You really got a good skill at that. Like, and she just kept asking questions. And I remember going, I am the coolest kid ever. this is the most amazing thing. And then Miss Lowell always did that. Always. Always made it about you. Whatever you're doing, it was the most amazing thing. And she's just an amazing human being. And I look back at that now. That was one of the first experiences that I can really remember, other than my family, you know, just would say stuff, you know, ball or whatever. That I went, she just made it about me.
Mm.
I don't know if she was messing with me. I don't know. She could have been just truly just genuine in that and just that type of person. But if you could come and encounter with everyone and exude happiness and joy because you're interacting with them, and then just ask them about something that they're doing and get involved in it, they're going to think you're the most amazing person ever. I mean, it's how to win friends and influence. Same thing.
How do you do that, though? You know the specific thing I'm talking about that you visualize. You picture everyone with a what?
Oh, we talk about this all the time.
Sorry. Yes. I'm like, really? Yes, you talk naked? About this at every training call.
It's cool. I was like, you're naked, and I'm looking, whoa, this is X-ray vision. Everybody's wearing a sign around their neck, an imaginary sign that says, make me feel important.
Yes.
You can literally walk up to everyone and just see that sign, see it on them, and make them feel important. And in here at the Garden Center, we say, what brought you in?
Yeah.
Yep. And then they go. And then we go really above and beyond on that. Like we almost fight you to not let you take your stuff out to your car.
Mm-hmm.
Like we want to take the stuff out to your car.
Yeah.
Just to take care of you. Make sure you have plastic, make sure everything's done. And some people are like, no. It's like, we insist. And sometimes it's like, okay, give in. It's fine. They really want to take it. Leave them alone. And it's just, we make sure people are walking around the Garden Center. We come up and we grab their plants. Let me take this for you.
Mm-hmm.
Handle this. It's just a service to an individual because they are important. How do you make them feel important? Make their day better in any aspect.
Yeah. Last year, you know, I was trying to find all these contractors to do the floor in my office and all that other stuff and had a really fun time doing that.
yeah.
And we've talked about this before on the show, but the one thing that was missing 100% of the time was nobody asked any questions. They came in and that's, you know, developing the skill of asking a great question and shutting your damn mouth, you're more likely to make them feel important because we all want to talk about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, like it's that, you know, and those acts of service you do for the people that come into the Garden Center. But when you get on the phone with somebody and you're selling them a big project or whatever, you're asking all these questions and you're going deeper instead of wider. You know what I mean? Like, hey, so tell me about it. You mentioned your mother-in-law. What's that about? You know, or whatever it might be. And, oh yeah, she's got this and that and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, well, hey, how can we make that easy for you?
Here's the hard part, Tom, with that is to find, this is not the kiss of death, but this is where it's easy to take it away from them is you ask them about their mother-in-law. They tell you something similar that you've experienced with your mother-in-law and you want to share because you want to feel important.
Uh-huh.
And you want to share your experience. They don't give two shits. They really don't. And it's really easy. Now you can get in a nice dialogue sometimes and it's a nice back and forth, you know, but you really almost want to kind of turn it into a monologue for them and just let them go. And when they say something about their mother-in-law, maybe it's positive. And in my world, a lot of times it's positive. My mother-in-law had snowball bush. That's a big thing that's blooming right now. It's a little confusing. They think it's another plant. They're blooming and everybody wants to talk about those right now. And they want to talk about their moms and who had it. And it's so easy for me to go, my grandmother had the biggest one and there was blah, blah, blah. And I just go, really? Like, no way. Yeah, it's been 17 years. 17 years it was there. And you transplanted it? Who helped you transplant it? So then that's a whole nother thing. Well, my grandbabies, no way. Your grandbabies out there? Tell me about your grandbabies. And it's just, it almost feels manipulative when you're doing these things. But if you truly go, I really want to understand these people and I do want to know their names and I want to know who they are and I want to know about them, it changes it because they do.
It's almost like picture a flashlight, you know, let's shine the light on them. Keep it off of me as much as I can. Let's shine it on them with the sign around their neck that says, make me feel important. However you got to visually do this, you guys do it. Like, you know, the mother-in-law story I share or the father-in-law or whatever it was with the emphysema and the dust and this and that, it'd be very easy to go, like you said, and this is the kiss of death. And I've talked myself out of more sales in my life than I've talked myself into with this is, you know, yeah, we have emphysema and blah, blah, blah. And they left a mess. You know, me too. I have a relative who has that too. And blah, and you start going down this thing Now you could acknowledge it and be like, you know, I get that. I have a family member that has some struggles like that. So I kind of understand where you're coming from, but tell me, Derek, what, you know, how can we make this really simple and easy for you and your family? Like you just turn it back on them and you turn it back on them. So it's, you know, and there, that's a practice thing. It's a habit.
This is a shift that I'm experiencing now is going from empathy to sympathy, because you can go empathetic. And so this would be mine. When you say emphysema, this would be my taking you away from yours. My grandmother was Rosie the Riveter in World War II. If yep. you guys don't know, you yep. know who it is. A lot yep. of people don't know. When all the men went to war, the women had to go to work, and they were known as Rosie the Riveters in the building airplane parts and airplanes. And I go into this whole thing because it's an amazing story. They called her Peanut. I could totally steal your whole thing with my story because she's Rosie the Riveter, dude. I mean, that's mm-hmm. iconic. But yes. I have to go, shut up. Don't do it. So we can always relate to that. So the empathy for me, that's where we really want to go and be empathetic. But it's hard because if I go empathetic, I've been in those shoes. Mm-hmm. I know what that's like when my grandmother was, it was not good because of that. It was, she was in those airplanes, and I guess it was the asbestos or whatever was in those airplane wings. So mm-hmm. that's what got hurt. So if I just go sympathetic and I just go, man, that's tough, dude. That's tough. And just leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so hard to do. All right, so as we wrap this up, let's give everybody one call to action for them. What do you think? What comes to mind? What do you want to get?
One call to action.
One thing they can implement, because I know we bounced around a little, but somebody who's struggling in the sales process right now to connect.
Just more of a challenge. Like it's just when you feel that you're about to start talking about something about yourself, or your parts or the things, stop and go back to them and just turn the flashlight back on them. Think of anything that they said, anything. And so what would be takeaway? Take notes when someone is talking to you, and whatever you're writing down, just touch back on that. Like it'll be huge, like truly huge, because they're going to say, my mother-in-law, my back porch, my driveway, my stove, my ceiling, my blah, blah, blah. Write those things down. And then when mm-hmm. there's a lull in the conversation, go, tell me a little bit more about that ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time that comes back, just go back to one of those. And by the end of it, they're going to give you enough intel that you can start talking money.
Love it. Love it. I want to encourage you guys, you got to practice this stuff. Okay. You can't, I mean, Derek, we've trained hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people through the years on this stuff. And I don't want to like disrespect people here, but sometimes, you know, you're so far behind on the track, you know, you've been lapped so many times that you think you're in first place because you're alone. and that's where I see a lot of people that come to us and they think they know how to sell. And I'm not saying like everything you do is fucked up, you know, but I'm just saying like, I mean, you've been doing this for so long. You've made millions and millions of dollars doing this, put in your pocket and this and that, change your life and all this other shit. And we could go story after story with all of us with that. And we're still learning how to take our game higher. Like it's, so it's one of those things where I just encourage anybody that's listening. If you think you know how to sell, you probably need training the most.
I mean, just for the fact that we've really pushed empathy mm-hmm. like hard for years now. And I'm starting to recognize the difference where it can be a bit of a trap. And that's why I'm kind of yep. going empathetic. Okay. Be sympathetic to acknowledge yep. this, pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's ever evolving. And what's cool too, Tom, when we have people that come in the battleground that have a superpower, and that's what's so powerful about the battleground mm-hmm. is we share stories. We support one another. Someone has a problem. We get in there, we answer questions. They get on calls. We answer them live. They have a superpower in the sales or business or anything related to business that they thought was just as common knowledge as anything, but it could be groundbreaking to someone else. So that's how we're growing by everybody else in the group. It's not just the coaches necessarily.
No, it's
the other people with those things. And I take something and go, son of a bitch.
Well, yeah, there's been so many people through the years, they'll post like, hey, here's a situation I had. This is what I did. This is what I said. This is the word track I used. I closed the deal for three times more than all my competitors, you know, yay me. And I'm like, I'm looking at the word track. I'm like, that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like write that shit down. Like,
totally. Yeah. So I'm watching, man. It's just, yeah. It's I'm constantly watching the guys coming in, and I'm learning from them because I'm not going to get lapped. I'm going to stay on top. So I'm paying attention to what everybody's doing.
Dude, I did a sales training workshop in Michigan last week, and there were like 9 salespeople in the room, and I was there with Sherwood, and I did a role play. And just full disclosure here, you guys, just my role in the fight. Now, I don't do a lot of role plays anymore. I don't do a lot of sales calls. So I'm fucking rusty, man. And we turned our chairs around, me and this cat in the room, and I was the contractor. I was kind of showing him how our process worked, and I was going through the steps, and I had a whiteboard in front of me, luckily, and I was taking notes as he was saying things. And we got to the end of the role play. I spun the chair around, and I went, okay, good, bad, ugly, how'd I do? And few people were like, I really like how you did this, and I really like how you did this. And it was like positive. And then Sherwood's like, well, I think you lost it here. I think you could have done this. I would have gone to this angle more. You didn't push here hard enough. I pushed somewhere else, and I kept trying. I was trying to show them how to get motive is really what it was. Yeah. And the guy I was role-playing with was playing a difficult customer, which is fine. And he wasn't giving me shit, man. And I was just, I'm trying the side door, the back door, the cellar door, and just couldn't get there. And then finally, I found something that I thought was it. It was the rose bushes with his wife. And then, no, not really. And then I thought it was the grandkids, you know, and this and that. And he's like, no, they stay inside. So they're not outside. So I'm not worried about them getting hurt while you're here. Like, he gave me nothing, man. But my point here is, when you're doing this right, whether you're the student, you're the teacher, you're getting fucking coached and educated and critiqued. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps this group so sharp, in my opinion, is like, the humility of like all you guys that do all the training for people on this stuff, you'll open up, you go, okay, in the chat box, you know, where would you have gone? Where did you, what could I have done better? Like it's, we want, you know, and this is what's happening, I guess, is how I see it. We've reached a point in our lives, and I could just speak for the majority of people in Battleground, you know, a couple, 300 people, whatever, right? We want to win more than we want to be right. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a good place to be. I see so many people defending what they know and all this other shit because they want to be right. And I'm like, fuck that. I want to win, man. I don't care who has to do the sales call in this company. If we win, I'm good. I don't care who needs to run this training. I'm good. I want to win.
You can still, what is that? I just read it this morning. You can be right and still be wrong.
Yeah.
We don't really do that here. It's really just like, how can we do this better? And how can we support one another? And it's just crazy. I mean, post after post after post. And there's, we've had an influx of new people coming. It's great to see all that. And there's one particular individual he was talking about before he came in, basically alluding to, he's pretty spot on. Can't imagine, you know, basically I'm going to come in and prove this thing wrong. Yeah. And then there's just a couple posts here recently. He's just going, son of a bitch. Like, yeah, I really thought I had it down, and then hitting all these damn things, and he's stoked because now he's going to take his business even farther because he thought he had it dialed in, and now he's hearing these other tweaks, and he's like, I'm going to insert this here, I'm going to insert this here, I'm going to insert this here. So, and it's ever evolving, ever evolving. I love it.
Well, good shit. Well, listen, I want to let everyone know that I'm not even sure when this is coming out. Today is May 4th as we release that or record this. Guys, we're shutting Battleground for a few months. We only open it a few times a year. We're shutting it down May 10th, 11th, right in there. So if you go check it out, it may not be open. I'll tell you that. But what I will tell you is that our Mile High Profit Summit is open. And you need to get your ass in the room. Because we do a lot of great training and things like that at Mile High. So I encourage you to go to thecontractorfight.com. Literally on the homepage, top left of the menu, it says Profit Summit. Click the damn button. And we even have one of those things, Derek, when you try to leave the page, it pops up and says Mile High, you know, so you can't miss it. But it's just outside of Denver, Colorado in September. And last year was the first year we did it. This year, it'll be a little bit bigger, a little bit deeper, a little bit better. And I'm excited because I know as a team, we're showing up stronger and better than we've ever been.
Yeah.
You know, guys, you can't get into Battleground, get over to Mile High, do Mile High anyway. And then when Battleground opens up again, if you want to make sure that you're alerted to that, you know, there'll be a waiting list thing on the website that says, hey, it's closed now. Give us your email and we'll let you know when it's opening up. There's no pitch. There's no hard sell. It's just, here it is. You want in, you get in. And I will tell you guys, every single person that has told me I waited says, I wish I would have joined earlier and gotten into this earlier, because I'd be that many more months ahead.
It's everything. So, everything. Yeah. Not even just this. It's everything.
Right. Right.
The fact of life. So don't, because you're going to say it.
Good shit. All right. Appreciate hanging with you here today. Guys, give us a rating. Give us a review. Share this with another contractor. And we'll see you next time.
Later.